listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. You can check out the show on the iHeartRadio app and on over 200 Fox Sports Radio affiliates. Wherever you are taking part in this program, we appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Tuesday here on Fox Sports Radio. I am Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell alongside the great and powerful Steve Fezzik. There is nothing this man is not a master at. Fez, are you excited for a Tuesday edition of SOV?
Pull back the curtain, Jonas. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are going to start, Fez, with a little bit of breaking news. It's in your backyard, the backyard of this show here on Fox Sports Radio. Fez, is your city, Sin City, actually opening up sooner rather than later?
Yes, we are. I got to tell you, Jonas, I am so excited. I have been waiting for this day seemingly for the past 6 weeks. So Las Vegas Sands news just breaking, plans to reopen not just the hotel, the Venetian Hotel, but the casino as well. June 1st is the day that they're reporting. And my town has been a ghost town. The Strip, Jonas, it is eerie to be down there. Nothing but construction workers, security, homeless, and a few brave joggers. It's time to get back to normalcy, or as close to it, in Vegas.
Have you ever seen Vegas like this? Has anything ever even approached this with any tragedy that's happened, whether it was the mass shooting, whether it was, you know, 9/11? Has Vegas ever looked like this since your time there?
Oh, not at all. And Vegas may shut down for 16 hours. But the one thing about Vegas, no matter how bad the country was doing, we were largely recession-proof when it came to just visitors coming to the town and wanting to gamble, and the casinos were open. For the casinos to have been closed for 2 months, I got to tell you, it has impacted my city, I think, as much as any city in the country, and just the psyche of all of the people. It's our lifeblood, the casinos. Yeah. Having them all closed, shocking.
Yeah, and look, I do a lot of hits, and I'm good friends with the guys at Fox Sports 990, our wonderful affiliate in Honolulu, and they're always having me on. Rick Hamada, John Matthews, the guys are awesome over there, and they've told me that their unemployment approached 40%. 40% unemployment in Hawaii because of the tourism, and Vegas, it has a lot of tourism. And so if it's not a place where you can welcome in visitors, everybody there is going to take a hit. So now with the news that comes out that the Venetian is opening up on June 1st, Fez, we talked about this. The second somebody jumped onto the dance floor first, everybody else was going to start to look and go, okay, I guess it's okay for us to all go out there. And when you saw Florida go out, and then when you saw California and Gavin Newsom make the statement, or the leak came out that potentially we were going to be shut down in California until after July, right after that, we talked about it live on the air. Arizona opened up to pro sports a couple of days after that. Now, obviously no fans, but I think the more that we see other places opening up, in particular California, who is now going to be open to the idea of pro sports coming back the first week of June, I got to think that Californians are going to make up maybe a large part of the audience that may be visiting Vegas in the near weeks.
Oh, no doubt about it, because let's face it, a lot of people still aren't going to want to get on a plane and travel right now. But just coming up I-15, 4-hour drive, and the pent-up demand. People have been home for so long.
Yep.
And the fact that their governor Newsom is opening it up somewhat, I think people are going to be absolutely looking to just get out of their houses and do something. So the key is Vegas has to have the guidelines ready. And I just read that there's going to be a Venetian's going to have 800 initiatives in cleaning and the like. And the gaming areas are apparently going to be at half capacity. So three people at a blackjack table, four at roulette, six at the craps table. So there will be limitations in terms of how close people will be in proximity. I'm sure hopeful it's all going to work.
And now here's the thing. All right. And just so we, if we're going to peel back the curtain here, as you mentioned, to start out the show straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio, you often hear on the show that Fez is a two-time Super Contest winner. So back-to-back years. And if you could quickly explain what the Super Contest is, it is, in essence, the Super Bowl of NFL gambling, correct?
Yeah, what I like to compare it to is we all watch the World Series of Poker, the main event. Hey, Chris Moneymaker won it. Greg Raymer won it. So the equivalent in sports betting is the Super Contest. And I was fortunate enough to win the main event of sports betting in 2008 and then again 2009.
Okay, in other words, you kicked its ass 2 years in a row. We got it. So Fez is really good at the sports gambling stuff. We got it. Everybody's clear on that. I had no idea until we were discussing before the show what the casinos are going to look like. If you missed it, we opened up the show with it. June 1st, the Venetian is going to be opening back up in Las Vegas. I think it's huge, and I think it could have an impact not only on that city, but another sign that the country is opening up. I didn't know this, that you also know your poker as well too, Fez, and the World Series of Poker, which is the poker event of all poker events across the country, extremely popular event. Where did you finish in the World Series of Poker?
Well, I had a 20th place finish in a six-handed event. Now, keep in mind, Jonas, there's about 100 events each summer. There were, but there was, I think, like 3,000 people, and I have cashed three times. So I'm an avid poker player.
Yeah, so you finished 20th in the World Series of Poker. So no, it's not just that you're an avid poker player. You're a really good poker player. But you identified the fact that there's going to be limitations with how many bodies can be at these different tables in Las Vegas, and you said that this could have an impact when it comes to poker moving forward.
Yeah, it does not look good for poker in the short term. And here's why, Jonas. Anyone who's played poker knows a lot of people like to play poker because of the social aspect of it. And also, poker works well with 7, 8, 9 people at a table. Well, the current guidelines and the restrictions say maximum of 4 players per poker table. Every poker game I've ever played in, when we get down to 5 players, the game winds up breaking up. People don't want to play. So I think the one area, one of the last areas to come back in the casino is going to be the poker room. I can't see how they're going to be successful. Only 4 players. And the World Series of Poker and all the events got rescheduled to the fall, got canceled this summer. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off this year.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to watch. But as we mentioned, the Venetian opening back up June 1st. That story broke a short time before we went on the air here on Straight Out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. We also have another mystery we are going to dive into in the world of sports, a major mystery. That's coming up here in just one moment. Do want to let you know we're brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone, AutoZone. So, the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary, Steve Fezzik, has had all sorts of layers attached to it. And it comes in a time in which people are trying to find something to talk about. And so every single Sunday for 5 straight weeks, there were different things hanging off the tree that people could pull from. The latest is the quote-unquote flu game, in which Michael Jordan said in the final episodes of The Last Dance that it actually was a pizza that he had ordered, and he had gotten food poisoning from the pizza, and it wasn't exactly the flu game. Well, as it turns out, the man who claims to have made the pizza for Michael Jordan, which was delivered to his room in Utah, his name is Greg Fite. And he appeared on the Ben Maller show. He also appeared on The Herd with Colin Cowherd. And he's made on Fox Sports Radio and on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. And he's made the rounds and done some interviews. And he is saying that there was nothing done to the pizza. It was not intentionally poisoned because he, in fact, is a Bulls fan. He made the pizza and even joked that he was going to make sure that it was extra special before the pizza was sent out to Michael Jordan, and he didn't even know if it was for sure going to Jordan until he found out after the fact. Here's why it doesn't matter whether or not this was intentionally poisoned or not. Just because he didn't intentionally poison the pizza doesn't mean that it wasn't food poisoning. I've had food poisoning before. I had a sub sandwich from a sub sandwich chain. I'm not going to name names here because I don't want to out anybody, but I got food poisoning and it was awful for about 24 hours. I was vomiting everywhere, sick, literally sick to my stomach. I don't think that the guy behind the counter who made the sandwich intentionally tried to poison my food. He maybe just had some bad products there. So to me, this whole, well, Michael Jordan's not being honest about the pizza. Look, just because the food was poisoned doesn't mean that it happened intentionally. It could have been bad ingredients. It was the end of the night. I think it's much to do about nothing and more of an indictment on the lack of sports that we have to talk about that this is even a story, in my opinion, Fez.
Yeah, I agree. And let's face it, Jonas, when do you think was the last pizza they made in Utah and Salt Lake that night? Maybe 8 o'clock p.m. So ingredients sitting out for two and a half hours. So basic strategy, if you're going to eat late night, probably eat in Vegas, not in Salt Lake. And I think that had more to do whether it was intent or not. I think we all knew that Jordan was indeed very, very sick.
Yeah, I just to me, when I'm seeing some of the reactions and people are saying, oh man, we knew Michael was. Now listen, Horace Grant laid into Michael Jordan, and I've said from the start, I think a lot of what we saw on this quote unquote documentary is an indicator that when you see a documentary, it's not exactly a documentary. Making a Murderer, that was cited towards one aspect of it, whether it's, you know, if you want to go all the way back and you want to go to Paradise Lost, which was about the murders in Robin Hood Hills, which came out on HBO years and years ago. If you're getting a documentary, it doesn't mean that it's entirely accurate. It's just accurate to whatever that side of the argument wants to portray. So just because Jordan is saying these things, as we're finding out, they're not exactly all 100% truths. They're just stuff that he is putting into the documentary and people are running with it. So I think we got to calm down. Maybe his food was poisoned, but it doesn't mean that it was done intentionally. Regardless, did you have money on the flu game, Steve Fezzik?
You know, I don't recall. It's been too long.
Yes. All right. So Steve Fezzik, Jonas Knox in for RJ Bell here on Fox Sports Radio. It's straight out of Vegas here on FSR, and you can check out the show on the iHeart Radio app. All right. Coming up next, there is an aspect to today's gambling world that was impacted by something you saw this past weekend. Find out what it is next here on FSR.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Steve Fezzik in for RJ Bell. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will dive into how something you watched this past weekend has impacted today's gambling world. That coming up here in just a couple of minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. But first, we've got to get the weather from the Las Vegas Strip, and it is appropriate with the announcement that the Venetian is opening things back up on June 1st, standing high atop the Venetian. It is our meteorologist and filling in, Stephen Fezzik, to give us the latest from the Strip. Steve?
Every day we bring the excitement of the Vegas Strip to you. It's 75 degrees and the neon is dark.
Are you tired of the neon being dark, Steve?
I am, and I think I can speak for almost everyone. June 1st, exciting. Venetian's going to open up, and I got to tell you, Jonas, I have every expectation that we're going to see the MGM open up New York, in the Bellagio, and my town is going to start to open back up.
Yes, rising from the ashes. Now, rising from the ashes this past weekend and over the past several weeks has been 1990s basketball. And you're probably thinking, all right, is this just like another example of we're just going to recap The Last Dance and just play it lazy because there's no interesting topics in the world of sports? No. This is how you move the story forward in sports talk radio. So, Steve Fezzik, in watching 1990s basketball over the weekend, I never had an issue with defensive games. I never had an issue with games that were in the 80s or the 90s. I grew up watching NFC Central football back in the day, and that was all about defense. I remember watching a Thanksgiving game in which the Bears beat the Lions 10-3 or 10-6. I was used to that type of offense and lack of offense and it being a defensive game. And so I never minded the NBA being like that way back in the day. But when you see those scores that flash up on the screen in big time games, scores in the 70s, scores in the 80s, scores in the 90s, and you look at how today's game has changed, it does bring up the question, what has the difference done to the handicapping world as far as people out there trying to get down and bet on basketball?
Yeah, what an evolution that's occurred in the NBA generation to generation. You know, if you went back actually to the mid-1980s, scoring was pretty high. You saw the average team getting about 110 points per game. By the late 90s, and we saw this obviously in The Last Dance, it became a league of defensive specialists. Seemingly, the pace was slower. Teams were struggling. Utah Jazz only get 54 points in a playoff game. And here are the numbers, Jonas. From 96 through 98, we saw average scoring for teams below 100 points. And that really continued, frankly, for the next 8 years. And it was a league where you didn't have to have any offensive skills to be a good player. Dennis Rodman, Avery Johnson only averaged 8 points in his career. Ben Wallace, less than 6 points. Dikembe Mutombo, the defensive specialist, rebounder, had a place in that NBA. But fast forward a generation after the Golden State, the way they played basketball, the last 2 years, average scoring per team in the NBA, over 111 points per game. So what have we seen? We've seen that if you're a big man and you don't have any offensive skills, you can't make a three, you can't score, there's no place for you anymore in the new NBA with faster pace and more efficient scoring.
I remember talking to real estate agents back in like 2007-ish when the market crashed. And I remember talking to them and so many agents were leaving the business because the market crashed. All of a sudden, people couldn't make their payments. Everybody was getting approved for a loan. And now that was all starting to backfire and the credit cards were coming due and people just were leaving homes. There were all these foreclosures. And the agents that took the philosophy of adapt or die ended up having success because they could work foreclosures. They could work these other properties that maybe they would never even sniff 2 years earlier, but they realized the game has changed. If you want to make it in the business, you've got to change along with it. At some point, when did you know that the NBA and betting on the NBA had completely changed from those low scoring games in the 90s and you were going to have to take a different philosophy and try and figure this thing out, or else you were going to take the alternate of adapt or die and you were going to fall off and not be able to make a living when it came to the gambling side of this?
You know, I got to be honest, I had a couple of rocky NBA playoffs back around 2012, 2013, where I looked at all these trends, especially in the playoffs, where games would tend to go under, and they just weren't going under because the league had changed. Again, adapt or die. You need to adjust to the new league. And frankly, I know professional baseball bettors, when baseball scoring exploded, that just would not adjust to the new game. Things evolve, things change, and as a bettor, you have to change with them. Trends that were 30 years deep, that had won for 30 years, Jonas, became irrelevant because the game had changed.
Well, it's like I told you the story about the Broncos-Seahawks Super Bowl. I was so adamant that Denver was going to win that Super Bowl that all of my bets before the game were on Denver to win. And it was, you know, Denver to score first, Denver to do this. And then while the game was going on, I just assumed, because I was so fixated on my original thought before the game, that it was going to come back to that. Like, don't worry about it. Just stick it out. Be stubborn. And I'm not making this up. I went 1-17 on my bets in the Super Bowl that year. A 1-17. Because I would not go I was like those NBA bettors, because I could not get it out of my mind that the information and my philosophy before the game started was completely wrong. And to go in the opposite direction, I was stubborn about it. And I went 1-17 in that game. It's terrible.
It's very, very difficult to take like all this data that you had all year long about
terrible.
Denver being a good offensive team, and it wasn't going to happen on that particular day. And it's so important to go ahead and pivot and make adjustments.
Yeah, it was awful. But I was thinking about this straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Steve Fezzik in for RJ Bell. I was thinking about this though, in watching what was happening back then, not just from a gambling standpoint, but I started to think about, all right, so which players could we apply to today's game? And Michael Jordan could play in any era. I think anybody who says differently is crazy. I wondered about Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller back then and Michael Jordan giving the credit to the Pacers and saying they were our most difficult matchup in the East since the Pistons was really high praise at the time, because I forgot about how talented and how deep that roster for Indiana was. Reggie Miller, Fez, is a guy that I think would be even better. He's already a Hall of Famer. I think he'd be even better had he played in today's NBA.
Oh, I agree. And here's some numbers for you, Jonas. Back in 1998, average three-pointers taken by NBA teams per game, 13. Last year, the average was 34. So think about this.
Jesus.
The three-pointer prevalence is almost triple as much in terms of teams embracing the spacing. Reggie Miller would be a beast in today's game.
Yeah, it's crazy. The other one I thought about, Karl Malone. Like, I don't know that Karl Malone would be the player he was in today's game, because he wasn't a three-point shooter. He was a guy who you relied on down in the low block. I wonder if Karl Malone would be a Hall of Famer, and he's one of the all-time great scorers in the NBA, but based on how much the game has changed, you've seen other players like this. Dwight Howard's one guy. Dwight Howard was dominant. He was one of the more dominant centers, if not the dominant center, for a while in the NBA, and then once the game started to evolve, the three-point shot became more prevalent, and all of a sudden big men were standing farther and farther away from the basket. Dwight Howard's game started to suffer, and I wonder if Karl Malone would suffer the same fate had he played now.
Yeah, and it was a tougher, more physical game. We saw about the Pistons and how they would rough up Jordan, and frankly, you needed to have that extra muscle on you like Karl Malone had, but that could impact your ability to shoot from the outside. And now it's I hate to use the word softer game, but certainly not nearly as physical.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio, Jonas Knox, Steve Fezzik in for RJ Bell here on FSR. All right, coming up next, we have good news, not only in the world of sports, but for sports bettors. We will have that for you next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
By the way, Dan, do you still have that Horace Grant sound that you just played
yes.
That national update? What if we did this? Here was Horace Grant talking about what it was like walking into John Ramos's hotel room.
He said, "I was a snitch." But yet and still, after 30 or 35 years, he brings up his rookie year going into one of his teammates' room and seeing coke and weed and women. My point is, why the hell did he want to bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? If you want to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there.
I mean, that just sounds like a Friday at Laverne University. What are we talking about here?
What was crazy was Macho Man Randy Savage came in right after that.
Randy Savage, I know your
mustache is crooked.
With Gene Okerlund. So, yeah, crazy times.
Oh, man. All right, there it is. Randy Savage, Gene Okerlund, Horace Grant, and Dan Beyer, the Mount Rushmore of this past national update here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Steve Fezzik in for RJ Bell here on Straight Out of Vegas. Coming up 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we may have another scandal in the NFL, a scandal in the NFL. That's 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. We do want to let you know that we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Steve Fezzik, you are, as we found out, you are a world-class poker player as well as a world-class NFL and sports bettor just in general. With the news that came out that the Venetian is going to be opening up June 1st, it does bring up the discussion about sports books and sports books opening up and whether or not this past weekend and how much betting action we did see on the sports that we had was good news or bad news. What do you think the face of sportsbooks are going to be like when Vegas starts to slowly come back?
I think sports betting will be huge. We saw big numbers from the Darlington 400 and from the UFC. One thing that will change, I think there'll be a tremendous amount of social distancing in the sportsbooks. People aren't going to be sitting packing the aisles in the sports books. I don't even know if there's going to be seating available. But I tell you this, Jonas, there'll be social distancing. Every 6 feet, people will be online to be betting on sports. I fully expect the sports books in the casinos that are reopening will be humming with activity.
And by the way, let me tell you who else's job just got a lot easier. Busboys and barbacks, because they're no longer going to have to wash glassware, because I think everything's going to be in plastic or in bottles. I'm serious. Like you got to look out. You got to look out for the people that are impacted here. No longer having to wash glasses to bend over and rip your back up. Having to wash somebody's glass. Everything comes in like a plastic carnival cup. I mean, come on, Fez. This is good news for those guys.
Makes a lot of sense. You got to remember, like we're talking about your background. So I never like paid my dues like you did, Jones.
Of course. Well, listen. When you're the rat at Chuck E. Cheese, it's all uphill from there. All right. So Steve Fezzik, you actually did some looking ahead when it came to the NFL. And you've identified 5 week 1 NFL lines that surprise you. So I don't know if you want to start off with your least surprising line of those 5 or the one that really stunned you, but take it away, your 5 lines that surprise you most. And you can use me as your de facto guinea pig who's awful at predicting lines and how lines are going to move if you want to set up these week 1 games.
All right, so we got Dallas. They're the favorite. They're laying 2.5 at the Rams. I got to tell you, Jonas, I understand that Dallas is a public team with all the weapons they have and now with wide receiver Lamb in the draft. But last year, Dallas was awful on the road. They were a bad road team. When they played a decent or a good team, they just failed. They failed at New England, at Philly. They failed at New Orleans with Bridgewater at quarterback, and they failed at Chicago. I was really surprised that Dallas came the chalk against the Rams on the road.
And so Dallas, being a 2.5-point favorite on the road at the Rams, I mean, not to mention the fact that it's, the Rams opening up that brand new building, the Rams, finally having their own place to play, is whether or not fans will be allowed in attendance, is that going to dictate how this line moves, if it moves at all?
I don't think the fans matter, because I think half the fans would be Cowboy fans at SoFi Stadium. What does matter, and we actually gave this out, Rams, as a best bet on Straight Out of Vegas just last week, is the fact that the Rams have 3 of their 4 preseason games at that stadium. They should know the sight lines very well, provided those games are played.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Steve Fezzik, 5 NFL lines in week 1 that surprises him. What's next, Fez?
Tennessee at Denver, Jonas. Denver is the favorite. Denver is -2.5. Let's face it, Tennessee, so much better with Tannehill last year into the AFC title game. And they're a clear underdog at Denver. And I think this speaks to the betting markets being aware of how good Denver is early in the year. They're 50-11. Denver is straight up since 1989 in September home games. And this makes sense. When Denver plays early in the year, that altitude, team's not fully in shape, they really struggle with it. And week 1 is the week that Denver has actually done the best. 17-3 straight up, 13-5-2 against the spread. So the wise guys know you want to bet on Denver in their first home game. And I think that helps explain why they're favored against Tennessee.
So let me throw this thought at you. And this is just me thinking out loud here when it comes to the NFL preseason and how this could be impacted. As you pointed out, Denver's got one of the really great home field advantages early on in the season because, as you said, they play at altitude. Players aren't in 100% game shape by that point, so they get gassed out. I remember talking, Chris Harris came on Fox Sports Radio for an interview. This was after a week 2 game in which they hosted Dallas. I think it was week 2, but it was early on in the season, the first couple of weeks of the year. He came on my show on Sunday nights with Brady Quinn, and Chris Harris said, and we asked him straight up, do you feel like you guys have an advantage at home early in the season because opponents aren't in shape? And he said 100%. So it is known, Denver knows it in their locker room, we're more accustomed to playing well here at this time than the opponents are. So here's what I want to throw at you. If that's the case, and you're a team going on the road, and you know that you're at a disadvantage cardio-wise based on when the game is being played at Denver, why wouldn't those teams maybe leave their starters in for more reps in the final preseason games to get them into better shape, knowing they're going to have to go to Denver and play them early on in the season? If that's the case, maybe you would think about betting on Tennessee, for example, here, knowing Tennessee's going to Denver to start out the year because they want to make sure their starters are in better shape, maybe you think about liking or betting on Tennessee in one of those late preseason games.
I think you got to evaluate how Tennessee, what they're doing week four in preseason. Let's face it, it's a long NFL season. Is Tennessee going to change everything they've done year after year just to have a little better chance to win in Denver and maybe compromise the long-term health of their players? We'd have to evaluate that, Jonas.
All right, so my thoughts sucked. All right, so Steve Fezzik, Jonas Knox here straight out of Vegas. All right, so five games that Steve Fezzik has identified surprising week one lines in the NFL. Game number three, Fez.
I'm going to ask you for the line on this game, Jonas. The Chicago Bears are at the Detroit Lions. What is the Jonas Knox expected line on this game?
Oh, God. I would go Bears minus 2.5.
And what's interesting, I think you are putting out a line a lot of people would be putting out. Detroit is actually favored by 1.5. Now, think about this. There's a really good chance there aren't going to be any fans there. So if there aren't any fans, there's going to be a reduced home field advantage. It might only be 1.5 to 2 points. So this line, Detroit minus 1.5, is essentially saying that the markets feel Detroit is every bit as good as Chicago. You know what, Jonas? I think I agree with this, and here's why. I know Detroit only won 3 games last year, but Detroit was 3-4-1 when Stafford was at quarterback. And then in came Driscoll and the much despised David Blough, and they lost all 8 games, including 2 of those games against these Bears in the second half of the season. So the perception is Chicago is better than Detroit. This line, in my opinion, is that Chicago really is not.
And Fez, you remember we talked about this because we did the show afterwards. You remember that Monday night game early in the year at Green Bay in which Detroit got screwed on a couple of calls? That was a game Detroit should have won, and we couldn't figure out why the line was so small. Like, nobody could figure out, like, why is it such a small favorite in terms of Green Bay? What's happening here? And as it turns out, Detroit probably should have won that game if not for a couple of bad calls.
Yeah, and Stafford is a guy that gets ripped all the time for not being able to win any games of any importance. But he's a wise guy, darling. Stafford, a clear-cut top 10 quarterback in the NFL. By the way, stay tuned, Jonas. In our next block, I will have a best bet associated with the Chicago Bears.
Wow, look at you. A World Series of Poker, top 20 finish, 2-time Super Contest, and now you're teasing on national radio? My God, what else you got in the toolbox there, Fez? Don't answer that. All right, game number four, Fez. 5 week one lines in the NFL that surprise you. What's game number four?
All right, my Las Vegas Raiders, I have to talk about them. Going to be playing in Allegiant Stadium. I drive by it almost every day, Jonas. They're at Carolina. The line is pick 'em. And I got to tell you, I really feel the Raiders should be favored. Carolina's already rebuilding. They have a brand new coach in Matt Rhule, brand new quarterback in Bridgewater. My feeling is that with COVID and with the elimination of the OTAs, limited practices, this is really going to put new coaches and new quarterbacks up against it. And because of that, I favor the Raiders. Do you agree, Jonas?
Yeah, I agree as well, too. I think Carolina's going to be overrated. I think it felt like Carolina was kind of making it up this offseason. Like, some of the moves, if you're rebuilding, why are you making this move and then going out and making this move? It's like they got rid of all their veterans, but then they paid a bunch of money to bring in Teddy Bridgewater, and then they brought in a quarterback from the, and it's like, oh, well, Matt Rhule's got connection with all these guys. All right, great, but that doesn't equal out to success immediately, and I think they're in one of the more difficult divisions in the NFL. I don't like Carolina at all. I think Carolina is going to struggle this upcoming season.
Yeah, Carolina season win number 5.5. So Las Vegas saying here's a team that clearly is going to be rebuilding. The team with the lowest season win, Jacksonville. Going to be a long year for the Jaguars at 4.5, Jonas.
All right, Steve Fezzik, final one. Your 5th game, 5 games that surprise you. Week one lines in the NFL. What's number 5?
Green Bay at Minnesota. And Minnesota is laying 3.5. And frankly, Jonas, I think that most people, and I agree, think these teams are pretty close to equal. And Minnesota has a really good home field worth about 3.5, so this line would make sense if there were fans. But a big part of Minnesota's home field advantage is it's a very noisy stadium there. I don't think there's going to be fans. More than 80% chance that they'll just be token fans or no fans in attendance. And because of that, I can't see how Minnesota should be favored by the 3.5. It should be more like 2 to 2.5, what the reduced home field advantage should be. Do you agree?
Well, I would disagree. I like Minnesota in this game, and I like them big, and here's why. First of all, it's a 1 p.m. Eastern time kickoff, and we know that favors Kirk Cousins because of his OCD. Secondly, Minnesota knows what it's like to kick out fans because they kicked out Ragnar, their longtime mascot, a few years back, and he hasn't been allowed back in the building. All right, so the fact that Minnesota has already set up themselves for understanding what it's like to lose at least one fan and a very valuable fan at that, I think Minnesota's accustomed to it. I like Minnesota big in that game.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins, when the game started at 1 o'clock, Eastern, if you just did nothing but bet on Minnesota, you cash 2/3 of the time. If the starting time is anything other than 1 p.m. Eastern, the other team, their opponent, cashes 2/3 of the time. Can it be that easy, Jonas?
I don't know. And if, now that I picked it, Green Bay will probably win by 2 touchdowns. So who knows? All right. Steve Fezzik, Jonas Knox, straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next year on FSR, we could have our latest scandal in the NFL. Find out what it is here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. We do have a best bet coming up from Steve Fezzik here in just a couple of moments. It is an NFL-related best bet, so your chance to make some coin on the National Football League. But Fez, I wanted to get your thoughts on this because I might be the only one who thinks this is a bigger deal than maybe some people are reporting on it or at least discussing. Sean Payton, and I don't want to make accusations here, so I don't want to come on the air and say for certain that Sean Payton was buckled when he was doing this interview. I have no idea whether he was drinking or not, but he came out pretty strong on several subjects. And Sean Payton was on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore talking about the acquisition of Jameis Winston, signing Jameis Winston. And he went on to say that back in 2014, that Lovie Smith and the Bucks took out all their starters so they could lose week 17 to the New Orleans Saints so that they could end up with the number one pick so that they could draft Jameis Winston. Now, if you go back and look at that game, New Orleans or Tampa Bay was up 20-7. They had a 13-point lead at the start of the fourth quarter and ended up losing 23-20. I mean, call me crazy, Fez, but if I'm finding out that a team is trying to throw a game and I'm a sports bettor, wouldn't that piss you off if you had money on Tampa Bay?
It's all about player performance evaluation, Jonas. You got to see what you got with some of the backups. And frankly, we've been seeing this in the NBA for a decade now. So I think there's a big distinction between a team trying to lose versus a team juggling their lineup and they lose because of it. I know that that sounds to be similar, but I think there's a big differential between the two.
Well, here's my theory as to what actually happened. This is what I think happened, because Sean Payton specifically said Lovie Smith took out all his starters. Here's what I think happened. I don't think Lovie Smith wanted to do it, first of all. I think Lovie Smith was told by the front office, take out your starters late in the game at some point so that we can improve our odds of losing that football game. And I think Lovie Smith went against everything that he knows about football, competition, everything in his core, and tanked the game late by taking the starters out. And then a year later, got fired by the organization. I think Lovie Smith was pissed off because he did everything for the organization, went against everything inside of him as far as competition goes, took his starters out of the game thinking, I'm helping the organization, at least they can help me, and a year later got fired for it, and they turned the keys over to Dirk Cutter. I think Lovie Smith was pissed off about that, felt like he got wronged and got duped by the organization, and that's why he told Sean Payton the story. That's my theory.
It's possible, but Lovie Smith has never been very much of a football coach, and Tampa Bay did get Winston instead of Mariota, so it worked out better for them.
Jeez, and you're taking out Lovie Smith to finish up the show? Good God, Fez. All right, so speaking of Lovie Smith and Lovie Smith's former team, and actually before we get to your best bet here, Fez, you have a prediction when it comes to the NFL draft. I want you to just throw this out to everybody. I'm not even going to respond to it. I'm going to let it marinate for everybody's ears, and then we'll get into your best bet. So just go ahead.
Within 10 to 15 years, the NFL will implement a lottery where they'll have the ping pong balls like the NBA, and you're not going to be guaranteed the number one pick with the worst record.
So 10 to 15 years, the NFL will have a lottery. That according to Steve Fez. Fez, best bet, Lovie Smith related, his former team, the Chicago Bears. What do you got?
Chicago Bears season win. The Bears are going to go under 8 wins, Jonas. The Bears are overrated. They went 8-8 last year, and I hear the talk, hey, Foles could well be an upgrade over Trubisky. Shouldn't the Bears win more than 8 games? Well, possibly, but here's the problem, Jonas. The Bears won 8 games last year, but they really should have only won 6. The Bears had 3 fortunate wins because they got to play Detroit's backup quarterbacks, Driscoll and Blau, and Week 17, the Vikings didn't play anyone. You talk about emptying the bench, and because of that, the Bears got 3 tainted wins. I'm on the Bears under 8 season wins.
Good stuff from Steve Fezzik. I'm Jonas Knox. For Matt McKenzie, Fez, of course, John Ramos, and Dan Beyer, the Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!